Thanks for leaning in today as we celebrate the death and the resurrection. More powerfully, the life of Christ who is risen. We've been in this series that is titled, Jesus Is. Come on, everybody say that with me. Jesus is. It's not Jesus was. It's not one day Jesus could be. It's who he is. And we've been using this phrase as a reality statement. Who Jesus is changes everything about who we are. That when you get to know who he is, you get to realize that who he is changes who we are. A couple weeks ago, we looked at that night that Jesus would be taken away and make his way to the cross. And we got to know him as the betrayed Messiah. That on that night, Jesus had his disciples fall asleep on him. Shortly after that, he said, my betrayer is coming. One of his close disciples, Judas, next thing you know, is then there with 30 pieces of silver, betraying his Savior. Shortly after that, on the same night, his close friend Peter denies that he even knows Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus is the betrayed Messiah. He can relate to rejection. He can relate to betrayal. After that, we saw who Jesus is. He is the miracle worker. Pastor Mike took us into a text in John 11 where we see Jesus show up on the scene where his friend Lazarus had died. And he rises Lazarus from the grave and he also comforts a grieving friend, Mary and Martha. Jesus is the friend to those who are broken. He is the friend to those who are grieving. He is the one who is able to give and raise life. Last week, we saw Jesus on the first ever Palm Sunday. He is the humble king. I love that paradox right there. Jesus could make his kingship known by getting the biggest, baddest horse in the land, but instead he chooses the lowliest animal, the donkey, the baby donkey, the colt. And he rides in and, oh, Hosanna in the highest, amen? Here is the glorious king on the way. And he is making his entrance known as he approaches the temple. On Friday, we leaned into Good Friday. And we focused our heart around the cross and how Jesus is the suffering servant. Metaphorically, the Bible knows him as the sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What was he implying there? Well, he was implying that this cross, that Jesus would die on that Friday, through his suffering, we would experience life. Through his death, we could experience grace. It's through his blood that we could be cleansed. And on Good Friday, we see him as the suffering servant. That leads us to today. This morning, Sunday morning, today, we know with all our hearts that Jesus is the risen Savior. Amen? That he has won every single battle. He has passed every single test. Jesus is the risen Savior. I want to preach from that subject titled, Jesus is the risen Savior. But I think because it's Easter Sunday and I was just in a mode as I was working on this sermon, I got a secondary title that I want to use for this message. I want to preach from both Jesus is the risen Savior and from the title selected, He Understood the Assignment. Amen? Jesus understood the assignment. That one was for the youth and the culture, all right? I feel like I hear that phrase oftentimes from different individuals. He understood the assignment or she understood the assignment. Here's what I know about King Jesus. He signed up for this assignment. He knew in order for me and you to get saved, in order for us to experience real freedom, the assignment would cost his life and he would rise from the grave. What does Easter tell us? He understood the assignment. I don't know about me and you, you know, my wife, she would probably chuckle if she heard this. She'll oftentimes give me a task, like, can you go to this specific store and get these three items only? Come on, y'all know where I'm going with this. Can you go to the coffee shop and just get this specific drink? I'll show up, and then I'll meet somebody, and I'll start mingling, I'll start talking, I'll start adding to the cart, and next thing you know, I won't even get what I came there to get in the first place, right? I'm like, oh, you know what? And Nina, I think you missed the assignment, right? Here's what I know about Jesus. He understood the assignment. Not only did he understand it, but he finished it. And we're here today, standing on that word, and that promise, and I'm grateful for that reality. So we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark's account of the resurrection in Mark chapter 16. And then I want to talk about three different things that Jesus understood when it came to this assignment and how that relates directly to us. So if you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat.
Ready.
Let's eat. Father God, right now, we just declared it. We're ready to eat. We speak the name of Jesus. We call upon your name, God. Bring death to life, God. Burn within us right now through your word. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that's soft. Give us a mind that's ready to receive. If anybody's on their way right now or logging on right now, I pray you get them here safely. As we lift you up, would you draw all men near? And Holy Spirit, remind us that you understood the assignment and that you won the battle against the grave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're in Mark chapter 1. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 8. The text teaches us, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And I love this dash right there, and I just want to highlight this idea. It was very large. The gospel writers will oftentimes put some notes for intentionality, just in case somebody were to have some ridiculous theory like Jesus didn't actually die, or he was just beaten up really bad. He was only crucified to a cross, but he was just kind of like half in like a coma, but he got up and he moved the stone himself. Can I just tell you, it was very large. Jesus really did die. And there was a big, large, heavy stone that was actually sealed in the tomb, guarded by Roman soldiers who were risking their lives if anything were to happen in that space. And I want to just tell you today that this King Jesus was still resurrecting, that this King Jesus was able to move that tomb, the very large one. Whatever's very large in your way today, the resurrection can conquer it. Amen? Let's keep looking at it. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." But watch this. "He has risen. He's not here." Come on, amen. "See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Right? Jesus is a man of his word. Amen? So just how he told you he was going to do it, he's going to do it. He understood the assignment. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You'll find that Jesus shows up to the disciples and multiple times he says, "Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid because he conquered the grave." I love this detail right here. It says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." Let me just highlight the "and Peter" for a moment. I was thinking about, why does Mark distinguish between the disciples and Peter? And I really think because just a chapter previous, right, we see Peter deny. I mean, he had walked with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus transformed his whole fishing career, right? Jesus changed his whole life. Jesus changed his name, right? He called him the Rock, the original Rock, right? Jesus moved in Peter's life. Peter was the one who said, "If all of these guys deny you, I never will." And Peter, on that night, betrayed Jesus and then made eye contact with Jesus after the third denial. And it said he ran away weeping. Now, we'd have to imagine that at this moment, Peter couldn't show his face to the disciples. Peter, I'm sure, was somewhere bawling his eyes out. He had let his Savior down, who was crucified on the cross. And I'm sure he's sitting there in his shame. And I love how the resurrected Christ has Peter on his heart. And he says, I don't want you to just go tell his disciples. Make sure you find Peter and tell him too. Why should that encourage us here today? It's because God still has hope for Peter, amen? Even the one who made the worst mistake of his life, right? And denied Jesus in that moment, Jesus says, hey, I want him to know there's still hope for him too. So if there's any Peters in the room here today, if you blew it last night, if you had a rough morning so far, if you barely kind of straggled your way in here, Jesus says, tell Peter too. He wants you to hear this word too. There's hope for you too, amen? Make sure he knows too. Why? Because he understood the assignment. I want to talk about three things that Jesus understood when it comes to the assignment of the resurrection, when it came to saving our lives. The number one point is this: he understood our condition. He understood that we have a condition on this earth that we must recognize and deal with. Here's the condition: we're sinners. Now, before you get upset with me and say, he called me a sinner, I just want to say that the Bible called you at first, all right? Look at this verse with me in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In fact, read it with me off the screen. Ready, set, go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I really believe that we're all found in this word all. That this word all exposes everybody in the room and everybody online and everybody who might hear this message in the future. This is a word for all of us, that we have a condition. And I think that puts us in two postures here today. Number one, that's bad news for us today. That we are all sinners and we've all fallen short. Here's what I know about me. If you were to survey my life and all the years that I've lived on this earth, you'll realize I've fallen short of God's glory many of times. But I'm thankful that, don't amen too loud, all right? Come on now. Right? But I'm sure I'm not alone, amen? Right? I'm in a room today of fellow strugglers who have fallen short of the glory of God, for we have all sinned and fallen short, right? That's our condition. In fact, every single individual is born into the condition of sin. It doesn't take long for a baby or one of these little children to start doing things that you never trained them to do, right? Have you ever said to maybe a little child or your own child, I didn't teach you that. Where did you learn that from? If these babies could speak in our language, they'd say, it's my condition, right? Blame Adam and Eve, our great sinful ancestors, who blew it in the original garden and invited sin into the world. And all of us are struggling and working through the tension of sin. It's bad news because that's our reality. And the last time God very seriously addressed the condition of mankind in the book of Genesis, where it says God the Father realized that everybody's hearts were sinful, everybody's minds were thinking wicked thoughts, and people were making perverted decisions. And what does God do? He says, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to make it rain one day. And it's not going to stop for 40 days until the earth is covered in water. The fact that our condition is sinner is bad news. The fact that our condition is sinner is also good news. What makes it good? The fact that Jesus still woke us up this morning. The fact that Jesus knows that our condition is sinner and he says, that's my assignment. That Jesus is going to take on our assignment to help us not stay in the position of sinners, but to redeem us into the category of forgiven. Amen? That Jesus is not content with us staying in that condition. He understands the assignment. Instead of God sending a flood, God sends himself. And Jesus says in eternity past, I'll sign up for this assignment. I'll come down from heaven to earth. I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live the sinless, righteous, holy life that we couldn't live. I'll die on the cross for their sins, and I will defeat death on their behalf. I'll go for the assignment. Amen? Point number two that we need to be aware of is he's not only understood our condition, he understood our destiny. Because this is true and our condition is sinful, and in case you're arguing with that, 1 John chapter 1 says, if anybody denies that they're sinful, they're lying. So there's your first one, okay? This is your condition. This leads to our destiny. Our destiny is an eternity away from him in a place called hell. That because God is holy and because God is righteous and we have fallen short of his glory, that he would then pay us for our sins, which leads to an eternity in hell. And let me just make something clear. In case today your version of hell consists of a red individual with horns and a fork in his hand, don't worry about that. That's weak right there. That's corny right there. What I want you to be concerned about is this right here. What really is hell? Is away from him. Be less concerned with a devilish figure. Be more concerned with God taking his hand off you. Be more concerned with the idea of trying to go through life and eternity by yourself. You don't possess the power of life and death. He does. And so our condition is sinful and our destiny is bad unless God makes a way. Romans 6:23, we went from Romans 3:23 to Romans 6:23. I'm a Michael Jordan fan, let's go. Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Let me just park right there for a moment. The scripture says that all have fallen short and have sinned. And here it says that because we've sinned, there's a wage. I'm sure everybody in the room loves payday, but you don't love this one. The wage that we have earned because of our sin work results in death. God owes each one of us death. That is our eternal destiny. And if that makes you sorrowful or somber, you're in the right place today. Jesus knows our sinful condition and he knows our sinful destiny. He also knows one more thing about it, and that is our struggle with his requirement. You know, one thing I've been doing in this year so far is I've been trying to memorize a chapter in the Bible. I've made it my 2024 goal to memorize Romans chapter 8. And so I know it's still kind of early in the year, so I'm just a few verses into Romans 8, but I've been reading Romans 8 every single day and just trying to memorize those first five verses. And I came across Romans 8 verses 3 and 4, and it kind of tripped me up a little bit because I wanted to not just memorize it, I wanted to understand it. So I started to look deeper in the text, and the verse says that in order for the righteous requirement of the law to be fulfilled in us through Christ Jesus. And I kind of double-clicked and underlined those two words, righteous requirement. And I didn't understand that there was a righteous requirement of the law that still needed to be fulfilled in order for us to experience salvation. There is a requirement that the law demands. If you look in the scriptures, you'll find over 600 different commands. In order for you to hit that target, you got to live a righteous life. But we just all outed ourselves, right? We've all fallen short of the glory. So we've all missed the righteous requirement of the law. I'm grateful that Jesus understood that. And so what does Jesus do? He puts on flesh and he says, I'll take on the assignment of fulfilling the righteous requirement. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Come on, look at this verse with me. In fact, let's read it together. For our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a spectacular verse. It says, this was for our sake. God loves you. It says that the only sin Jesus ever knew was your sin, was my sin. What happens on this cross? Let me tell you what happened on the cross. What happens on the cross is Jesus goes on the cross, and all of our sin is imputed to him on the tree. And all of his righteousness is given to you. The gospel teaches us that this great exchange happens on the cross where all of our sins, those who put their faith in him, our sins are then lifted off of us and put on Jesus on the cross. He takes on our requirement. He pays our sin debt. He covers our condition. And not only does he do that, but then he gives us all of his righteousness. So that our identity can no longer be sinner on their way to hell that can't live the righteous requirement. It's the opposite now, because our identity is found in what Jesus has done in our place. Amen? For our sake, he made him to be sin. Jesus became sin, even though he never sinned. So that in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. What a verse. What a reason to celebrate today. So let's go ahead and put these three conditions back up on the screen, and let's see how Jesus moves through his resurrection to change the day. Number one, our condition, he fulfills this one and turns our condition from sinful to forgiven. Amen? Because he rose, he's able to conquer this one, right? Jesus goes up on the cross, and he does it so that we can be forgiven. Not just of our past sin, he covers that. Not just for our current sin, but even, can I just remind you, Jesus died for you before you were even alive. So he was paying for your future sins, amen? So even the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow are already paid for, you are forgiven. What does forgiveness mean? It means that he no longer holds your sin against you. Why? Because it's paid for in full. He changes our condition. He not only changed our condition, but he changes our destiny, doesn't he? Our destiny is no longer eternity in hell. It's our eternity secured, right? Our past is forgiven, and our eternity is secure, right? We're with him. One day, every single individual will stand before God the Father in judgment. And on that day, Satan, also known as the accuser, will pull up. In a moment, begin to accuse you and say, hold on a second, Hayden, you're not righteous. Wait a second, Ilse, what about when you fell short? Or hold on a second, Will, I remember when you did this. You've fallen short here. I made sure of it, and you didn't pass that test. And you know what we're going to say in that moment? He's right. He's right. But Jesus paid for all of it, and so I don't show up with my own code of righteousness. I show up in his. The same way Jacob puts the colorful coat on Joseph is a shadow of how Jesus puts the colorful robe of righteousness on us. Amen? That his blood would be the covering. So we look back at Satan and say, my identity and my security is not found in my account, but his. I didn't finish the assignment. He did. Right? God did. Eternity secured. With Christ. That's why it's so important to speak the name of Jesus. That's why it's so important to call on the name of Jesus, to believe in the name of Jesus, because he won the grave. Not only that, but he satisfied the righteous requirement of the law. I showed you Romans 6, verse 23 a bit ago. Let me go ahead and take a look at it again, because I didn't finish the text. I want to go ahead and finish it. Romans 6, 23. Come on, let's finish it this time. For the wages of sin is death. Bad news, right? But, everybody say, but. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, I love that right there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus satisfies the wage of sin through his life, death, and stamp of resurrection. He understood the assignment. But it's not enough just for him to understand it. The fact that he lived it and finished it is what we glorify him for today. As I prepare to close this message, I want to read to you a reality statement that I wrote down. And usually I like my reality statements to be kind of shorter statements. This one's a little longer, but just stay with me for a moment. The resurrection is not just an impressive act, though it is, right? Amen? But let me just say this. If today you're here and you're like, yeah, some guy named Jesus a long time ago, he died on a cross. He did. And he even rose from the grave. It's an impressive act. Hasn't done anything to me. You've missed it. You've missed that the whole thing is for you. It's not just an impressive act. It's an amazing grace. Jesus is the risen Savior, and why that changes everything is because he didn't just die and rise to show off. He died and rose to show grace. Amen? The resurrection is good news for the people that have received it. Today, I want to encourage you to not reject Jesus. Accept Jesus. Receive Jesus. Don't leave Jesus. He is here to show you grace. And I love when people move from death to life through faith in the power of his resurrection. In fact, just recently, I witnessed a baptism here at our church from a sister named Trisha Clark. And I remember her getting baptized just a couple weeks ago and sharing her testimony of faith. And I thought, this is such a powerful story. I want to go ahead and capture it through video. And maybe it would encourage people in the room here today and online. So take a quick moment and let's watch Trisha's story.
My name is Trisha Clark, and I'm originally from Honolulu, Hawaii. Come from a family of three daughters, mom and dad, and lived in Hawaii for about 11 years of my life. Didn't think I would ever get off that island. I didn't know what the world was outside of Hawaii. When you're living on an island, you learn about all these other states, but you can't visualize it. You can't imagine it. So we decided, my grandparents, actually my mom's parents, they decided to move to Vegas, and we followed. So I went to Green Valley High School, and I actually met my husband. So we started dating at high school, I believe either sophomore or junior year of high school. And yes, I thought he was cute, but later on he was after me. But then we had two kids and decided to get married.
We preached God, but we weren't going to church faithfully. We weren't reading, we weren't praying, but we were a unit, right? And so when I say it's funny how God works, is one of our kids is the reason why we are here today. Mm-hmm. And actually it was both, to be honest with you, because Jazzy is always this, just a positive light. But she took her brother Braden to a youth service. And when they came back home, and to see this joy in my son, I looked at my wife and I said, well, we gotta try this. Let's take this step. As I'm saying that now, it's kind of ironic we go to walk church because that's basically the step. We had to take this next step.
Thank God for Jazzy and Braden, yes, inviting us to walk, because I definitely was hesitant. You know, I'm like, what's so special about this church? Like, all the churches are the same, basically. I was definitely that person. And we're like, okay, you know, Jazz and Braden can't stop talking about it, so let's go check it out. And I'll be honest, right when we got to walk, the welcoming people that it just, when you walk in, the highs and the how are you, you know, it felt so genuine. And that right there, I couldn't stop talking about it. And then, you know, hearing Pastor Hayden preaching, the message is clear and understanding. And I never felt that way at any church. So I met and sat down with Pastor Mike and Nina. And I never understood why I needed to be baptized. You know, I've lived not hiding how I felt about Jesus, but didn't think no one needed to know. And when Pastor Mike explained it and kind of just summed it up a little bit for me, and Nina just, she's so encouraging. And God, she just helped me understand what Pastor Mike was saying as well. And I'm like, why does it have to be a secret? It all made sense. I was able to actually feel. I feel the Holy Spirit. That's when I knew. I'm like, this is how I know I'm ready. I know I'm ready because everyone needs to know that you can be confused and lost all your life. Make it to church. Feel all, you're supposed to be able to feel and understand all of this, and now I get it. And now I need everyone to see this and feel it with me because it's amazing. It brings you joy and you live differently every day.
So Pastor, can you tell me, Betty, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the perfect sacrifice, and he rose 3 days later. It is my privilege to baptize you, Mother.
Oh,
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So now, after being baptized, and the feeling, it's like butterflies. I feel like I have butterflies every single day because I'm just so thankful every day. And it's not just because I've been baptized, but because I can feel it. And I can feel him. I can feel Jesus. I'm absolutely grateful for Jesus to continue to work in my life every single day that he does, because I can feel Jesus every single day when I wake up. I feel him when I go to bed. And I know everything's going to be fine.
Amen. So good. Man. Woo. Where the Kleenex box at, y'all? Man. Praise God. Hey, would you help me honor Trisha and Sean Clark for sharing their story, their testimony? Grateful for you guys. Grateful for Jazzy and Bree and their whole family. And I think it takes bravery to share your story. But I believe there's power in a testimony. Amen. And today, if you don't have that testimony of saying, yeah, Jesus showed up in my life. And I love what Trisha shared there. She said, you know what? You can actually show up lost and confused. Or maybe today you've kind of just been coasting. You're not quite sure where you stand. But today you heard the good news that Jesus can change that condition. He can move that eternity to him. He can fulfill that righteous requirement of law. In fact, he did fulfill it. And today it's yours to take. The free gift of the resurrection is on display for you today too. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. I'll put it up here briefly on the screen. And C.S. Lewis talks about the resurrection. He says, a dead Christ I must do everything for. A living Christ does everything for me. We tap into that power here today. And we thank you, Jesus, for doing it all. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I believe today maybe there's somebody here who doesn't know this amazing grace, or who didn't know it when they came in, but now they do. And I just pray right now for everybody here in the room that if there's somebody here that needs to put their faith in you as Savior and Lord, right now is the moment to do it. Don't wait another moment. Jesus calls you today. And I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me now. By faith, say, Lord, I believe. Believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. Believe it from my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. And today I turn from my sins. And I turn to you. Forgive me, heal me, cleanse me, save me. I'm ready to walk. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate that today?